Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let me go ahead and fire this up. Okay, there we go. Okay, so this morning, the three chapters that I will be discussing with you guys will be the ones managing his resources, enjoying his recreation, and also governing as a citizen. The overlying verse that comes to mind is the 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So that, just keep that in mind as we go through these things. So this next slide for the overview. As I was going through the readings for this, I kind of put myself in the shoes of the ones that have gone before, and I'm feeling kind of like you know, when you go to the doctor and you have your annual checkup, or like you go to see Sean the dentist, you know, or if you ever went to like a trainer, a fitness trainer or a nutritionist, someone of that sort, and you kind of had like a generally, like, you knew you weren't perfect, you know, but then they tell you things and then you're like, wow, like, I didn't know I had it like so bad, you know, you know, like I thought it was bad, but like, it wasn't like that bad. Right. And then you feel the denial and stuff like that. So in talking about, you know, wealth management, recreation, living as a man, your purpose, fulfilling your purpose as a man, obviously I think we're humble enough to say like we don't have it down. But as I was going through these, you know, there are a lot of these things or topics are kind of like, well, duh, you know, like you want to be wealthy, like, duh, you do want to play, right? Or duh, you are a man, you know. It seems very simple. But when, you know, that physical trainer comes and watches your form and stuff like that, and they're like, you're not really doing it right. You know, you're like, what? You're like, what do you mean? So that's kind of how I felt. Like topic one, wealth, we're going to be talking about what it is, how to do it, why we do it. A lot of it, like just looking at that, you're like, why? Like, I know. But when you dig a little deeper, you're going to find it's like, ooh, there's a lot more to it than that. Same thing with recreation. We do need to define what it is. We need to talk about how to do it and why to do it. Okay. And then the purpose of a man. It's broken down into kind of three parts. And then each of those parts are also broken down into kind of three aspects as well. So there's man as the creator, man as the leader, man as a benefactor, kind of like reflecting his true image of God. And then there's the governments, like how to lead. And it's in three aspects: building, in serving, in protecting. And then the last point is just kind of like a summary of what leadership and Christ-like humility is like. Okay? All right. Okay, so moving forward, Matt, to managing his resources, this is going to be talking about how to build wealth. Build it the right way and for the right reasons. Okay, so on to the next slide. What wealth is, in the context of what the book is talking about here, is these are the things that have value, which is set by someone else, and what that someone else is going to be willing to give you for it. Okay, so we're talking about things like cash, liquid assets. Like if the apocalypse happened and you needed to get out of town or something like that, this is what you could take with you, okay? But there's other forms of wealth too, like properties and appreciating value type assets, like real estate, stocks, mutual funds, bonds, that kind of stuff, okay? Also, there are things such as precious metals or any kind of valuable resource, you know, that the world would love to have or use or need, That's there's a limited supply of it, and if you happen to own or control it, then you do have some wealth on your hands. Okay, so things like that. So what we're not talking about today in the context, even though these things can be considered wealth in some way, is, you know, peace of mind, self-satisfaction, family, love, wife, kids. Those things can be riches too, but in the context of what we're talking about today, we're not including those things, okay? Those things are very important too, almost priceless, but we're not talking about that today. Okay, here is the sort of interactive part. So how to acquire and gain more wealth? Well, we turn to the Book of Wisdom for a lot of this. Not all of it, but a lot of it. So if we can have some of you guys break out your Bibles or your apps. Let's see. Can someone turn to Proverbs 10:4? Or I'll just go down there. So Patrick, can you go do Proverbs 10:4? Pastor Jerry, can you do Proverbs 22:29? And then, Kenneth, can you do the Proverbs 28:20 and 22? And then Dave, could you do Proverbs 22:7? And then, Keith, can you do Proverbs 6:1? And then Dave, since you're also on Proverbs 22, can you also bookmark verses 26 and 27? Okay. Moving down, Donald, Proverbs 21:5 and 7. And then do you guys have your, okay. Can you do, Timothy 6 verses 6 through 8? Okay. And then, Proverbs 10:2. And then we got Proverbs 13:11. And then can you, the father and son do, can you guys do Proverbs 20:17? Okay. All right. So I'll go ahead and just go over the points of the Book of Wisdom, and then we can go back and circle back and read those things. Okay. So in general, like as Pastor Jojo has mentioned before, the Proverbs are not read like as in hard, fast, like predictions or things like that. It's generally what tends to happen. Okay, but as you guys read through this and just even as a young teenager, you kind of seen through how life works. Generally, these things play out that way. Okay, so you can imagine you being successful or gaining wealth in this if through hard work, right? You have to have some kind of skill. You need time and patience. And then in particular with wealth, gaining wealth, is you don't want to accumulate a lot of personal debt. And also you don't want to co-sign onto someone else's debt. Okay. There are some exceptions. For instance, if you are making a large purchase, but you don't want to make, you want to make sure that you're making these large purchases and loans towards things that will appreciate in value, not depreciate, okay? And you also don't ever want to take out loans that are going to be more than when you resell it right away, that it'll be, like, the loan you take out is going to be, that amount is larger than what you can resell it for, okay? So those are the two exceptional pointers. And then for success, a lot of times people plan ahead. They have a game plan. They want a budget, and then they try not to be too extravagant. Okay. And also, you don't want to, last but not least, but also very, very important, is you don't want to compromise your integrity. You don't want to go against God or do anything that would be anti-God and you also do need to rest. We'll talk more about resting and recreation later, but like, for instance, the Sabbath. Okay, so just so you know, I'm not making all this up. Let's turn to the Word and see what the Word says about it. So,
all right. Proverbs 10:4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich.
Okay.
Skill, Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings, and he will not stand before men.
Proverbs 28:20. A fearful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Verse 22, he that hasteth to be rich has an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him.
The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender.
I think this is all under personal and cosign section. So Proverbs 6:1. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, have given your pledge for a stranger. And then this is Proverbs 21:5 and 7.
The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. The violence of the wicked will sweep them away, because they refuse to do what is just.
Timothy 6:8. But godliness with contentment is great, great gain. For we bought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content.
Proverbs 10:2. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death.
Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it.
Proverbs 20:17. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel.
So, and hopefully, like, just through that, you can see that, in general, you can see this is how the world works, right? Even people that aren't Christian, live secularly, they would probably agree to a lot of this. The one component, though, and the reason why sometimes this doesn't work out that way is because ultimately, wealth is, at the end of the day, a blessing. Okay? Meaning, God decides whether you get it or you don't. Okay? It doesn't make him good or bad, in that sense, no matter what, God is God, he's still good. Okay, but wealth ultimately is a gift from God. So you can follow all of that hard work, and you can have the skills, you can put in the time and patience, and you can do everything right, but there is no guarantee of this. Okay, ultimately, it doesn't come, it comes from God. It should, therefore, okay, be treated as such, though, as a blessing and gift from God. So what does that mean? That means it should never be an idol. Okay, wealth is not a god. Okay, but it also shouldn't be something you take for granted. Okay, so the verses there would be 1 Timothy 6:10 and 17, Colossians 3:5, Matthew 19:16-24. Okay, one way to kind of think of this, that was kind of, I don't know if this is a bad analogy, but this was what the best I could come up with. But people, like, we just naturally want to feel safe and secure in this lifetime. And so one way we do that for physical security is, like, gun ownership, right? So you want to treat wealth as kind of like you putting on a different kind of protection for yourself in this lifetime. That's similar to, you know, like in a way, like the protection for your physical self. So we don't worship guns. Some people do, but we shouldn't do that. But also, you wouldn't go throwing your gun around or mishandling it, or just like you have young kids lying around and you just leave it, like, you know, like just on the ground somewhere in your home, right? In the same way, we should treat wealth respectfully and fear it and it, similarly to the way we would be very careful if we did own firearms. Okay, moving on. Okay, so why should we want to be wealthy? This one is one of those duh type of questions, but at the same time, you know, when we like going back to the doctor thing, why should we want to be healthy? Well, we don't, when we have our annual checkups and it comes out badly, and then the doctor goes and runs through like, what have you been doing? Like, how much exercise have you been doing? And what have you been eating? And this and that. And then you're like, well, I want to be healthy. Well, you got to take the necessary steps to do that. And so, same thing, we know we want to be wealthy, but sometimes we don't do the necessary steps. But we do need to talk about the why. Because it is a blessing from God, okay? It can actually be an instrument to our sanctification, if you think of it a certain way. For instance, in order to build wealth, like I said, you do need to have to put on the kind of character and take the necessary active steps to building wealth. And those things in and of itself are good steps and good characteristics to have a lot of time. Okay, because it does take, you know, if you look back at the previous slide, you know, having patience, having like a set plan, having like a goal to shoot for. These are things as men, they're very noble things to have, okay? These things can be used to sanctify us. Also, forcing us to live a little bit less extravagantly in order to gain wealth. These are, again, it's not a bad thing. It is for our sanctification. Some of us, unfortunately, may have even felt needy at some point rather than wealthy. Okay? And then we, like, sometimes you come across Bible passages where people really do have to live on the grace of God, really rely on God. And so in some cases, when we're going through a certain valley, a certain low in our lifetime, where things aren't going right, and we really just, you know, we have no other choice but to really trust God to get us through those times, okay? That's also for our sanctification, okay? And sometimes those lows in our life are self-inflicted. We don't like that sometimes, but if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes our lowest of lows, we did that to ourselves. It's not like there are situations where it's not our fault, but a lot of times it is our fault. And so, like, when we come face to face with that and we rectify that and make changes, again, that's for our sanctification. Okay. The process of building wealth and experiencing that neediness then builds up the wisdom and then dependence on God's deliverance. Okay. But once we get that down, then what it does is it creates freedom. Okay. But of course, with freedom, it's like the Spider-Man thing, but with more freedom, more responsibility. Okay, so with wealth, you get to do more things. Those you guys that have gone from being poor and needy and now are no longer, you can kind of reflect back and go, wow, you know, life was actually really, really hard back then, and now I'm glad I don't have to worry about those type of things anymore. Okay, it's nice. It's nice to, again, if we're talking about peace of mind and feeling secure and stuff like that, wealth really is like a hedge of protection against that God can bless us with, okay? And on top of that, it's nice to be able to afford vacations. It's nice to be able to go out and have dinner with our family, you know, and not have to, like, do, like, immediate calculus in our mind, like, is this actually going to work out for this month, you know, like it's nice to not have to think about that every moment of your day, right? But even if we do at some point reach a point where we don't have to think about spending as much, and penny pinch and whatnot. We still want to live modestly. Okay, again, don't forget what wealth is. It's a blessing from God. It's not an idol. It's not a god. But we must treat it with appropriate respect and fear. And okay, so enough about that. Okay, how are we doing? This we could push on. Okay. Again, the topics, they're both theological, but they're also highly prescriptive. They can be highly prescriptive in a way, but then it's also very personal. Of course, so is like taking, you know, care of our bodies. It's like, well, it's really personal. I don't wanna do that. That might work for you, might not work. There are certain general things. So the general things I mentioned about, those things are pretty universal. You want to follow them. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty of, like, well, what should you reinvest in? You know, how should you do this? How should you do that? Obviously, then that gets very personal. That prescriptive part will hopefully, when we break out into deep discussions, then it'll be, that can, you flesh that out a little bit more then. Okay. All right. Let's move on to then enjoying his recreation. So this is summarized as in resting in accordance with God's design. Okay. This is also another one of those things where we sometimes, I think this one more than so than others, I think we think we do it correctly, when I think a lot of times what we think we're doing as correct isn't really. And so this was actually quite eye-opening for me. So what, the how, the why, the recreation, okay? So what is it? So according to Mark, so Mark 30, 32, there's a part where the apostles are told, come away. Like, they've been working and toiling, and then it's been, like, pretty hectic. And they were encouraged to come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Okay? In just that little part, that's where we get a little bit of a glimpse of what recreation is. Okay? It's... Who are we talking about? We're talking about us. Okay, since we're made in God's image, and since God rested, we too should rest. Okay, this is from Genesis. Okay, where do you go to rest? Okay, well, this is, okay, so now we get to that. Rest happens only when you go put yourself in an environment that's actually delightful. Okay, now this is highly personal again. It is different from person to person. However, okay, one commonality among all the biblical examples of people resting, it's that it, wherever you go, it brings a kind of peace or calmness, and it allows for regeneration to the man. Okay, more so than excitement and like that roller coaster ride where you get a high of emotion. Okay, now that's not to say that if you like exciting things, then you're not resting. Okay, that's not what I'm saying at all. But in general, it seems like biblically speaking, a lot of the peace and calmness that allows for regeneration, that's usually what is found in the scripture. Okay, where people are resting. Okay, now there is a width for recreation. Okay, that is because we're not meant to be alone. Okay, when Jesus was speaking with his apostles, he said, "Come away," and he didn't go, "You go over there, and you go there, and you go there, and you guys are all in a desolate place." He meant like you yourselves as a collectives, you still want to be together. Okay. So yourselves as a collective of those disciples. Likewise, we too have our families, we have our church, our friends, above all, we have the full Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Our rest should actually strengthen and also be found together with these people, or these things I just mentioned. Okay, it's often a collective of all of us. That's why we do retreats. That's why we do things like, like the pastors always say, go on vacation together and stuff like that. Spend time together. Catch up throughout the week, you know, like things like that. It's not, I don't think we've ever heard any of our pastors say, like, go find, like, isolate yourself in your room and just disappear after you work and you know, drift off into, like, la la la, you know, like, I don't think I've ever heard any of our pastors say that, and I don't think you could biblically back that up in Scripture. Okay, when should you rest? So Sunday obviously is a typical day of the in the week to rest, but as a good practice for ourselves, there should be some kind of rhythm that we form where we end up having daily rest, weekly rest, monthly rest, yearly scheduled rhythm rest into our lives, okay? And if need be, budget this, plan for it, and then stick to it, okay? Why? Well, because we are sinners, and as sinners, we need, and you can, if you look at the word long enough, you could see it, it's recreation. What is recreation? It's the process of creating something again, like being born again, like being, of renewal, and so, or like allowing us to be redeemed, like the book, the redeemed man, okay? If we never quiet down and listen, right, then God can't use our God-given senses to, you know, absorb the gospel and then truly rest in God, okay? Okay, so as men, it is different. Like, resting as a man looks different from resting as a woman. Okay? And again, another kind of duh kind of thing. But as men, we, like I mentioned before, we can't, if your form of recreation involves a lot more, like, energy output and stuff like that, guess what? It's because you're a guy. Okay? We're designed that way. So we can't ignore what's in our DNA and our hormones, okay? So men, we do tend to like creating, ordering, and doing like do-yourself projects, gardening type of stuff, or going out on hikes. We do plan, if we do have any kind of activities that are like team sports or anything like that, we tend to like winning, we tend to like achieving personal bests. We tend to like that brotherhood that we can get from team sports. And we tend to pick activities that have like high technical skill, like instruments, or crafting of some kind of woodwork or intricate design artistry type of things. Okay, these things are all built in within us. This is, again, going back to Scripture, a product of Genesis 1:28, we were designed to have dominion over all. And in order to do so, there is this kind of innate desire to sweat, to fix, to strive, okay, even when we are having leisure. Okay, so while rest is often peaceful and quiet, it is possible that we can find rest in activity as well. There is a however, though, and that is that in the pursuit of these activities, if you find yourself frustrated a lot, you know, because it is possible, younger people, if they play games and they get upset and they throw their controller and stuff like that at the screen, or if you're watching a game from home and you get very upset and you end up like having to buy a new big screen because you threw something through your screen, you know, things like that. Or if you're, you know, playing team sports and you're the guy that, you know, when you lose, like, you're tough to be around, you know, things like that. These are things where you're harming yourself either physically, emotionally, spiritually, or relationshipally with God. Then this this thing is turning into not really recreation. It's probably just a diversion at that point, okay? And it's not rest anymore, okay? So that's something to keep in mind. Okay, so there are some consequences, very, very severe consequences of not doing recreation, okay? Some of it is actually very underestimated. The first thing that might, you want to do is you want to self-examine. If you find out you're, if you're looking at yourself in your life, you know, I don't rest, or if I do rest, it's actually more diversion than it is recreation, okay? One situation is maybe we might have like a savior complex. Like, we don't rest because we think the minute I rest, everything in the world will fall apart, right? And obviously that's a very, that's not a good mentality to have, okay? Because we aren't, as much as we're made in the image of God, we are not God. If we disappeared, the world will not fall apart. His plan will still, you know, his plan will still prevail, right? And so intellectually we know that, but the way we live, maybe it doesn't work like that, okay? The second one is that maybe we've been escaping and avoiding something for so long, and now it's just comfortable to just occupy ourselves with a lot of work, and we don't actually confront whatever it is that's more serious, okay? So the consequences of either scenario is actually deadly. Because if you do not allow yourself to experience recreation, meaning you're not being recreated, then that is a really big red flag. Because in order to be redeemed, you do need to be recreated. And so if you habitually do not recreate, right, recreate, then that means that the gospel message may not be really like sinking into you. Okay? And that's just not a good place to be, okay? Can't call you out like as like you're in sin necessarily, I guess. Or if you are, it's hard to see visually. But it is, if you self-examine, that would be a pretty big red flag that you want to address, okay? All right, are we good on time so far?
Yeah,
okay, good. Okay, so we're on to our last part, the governing as a citizen. Governing as a citizen, man's role in society is to lead by Christ. Okay, that's basically our purpose as a man. Okay. So there are three parts to a man, like living in the image of God. One is creator. Okay, in Genesis 1:28 it says, "Be fruitful and multiply." Okay, so that part of it, and then the second part of Genesis 28 is being the leader, have dominion. Okay, so one, you're supposed to create, and then after that, you're supposed to rule over it. Okay, well, dominion meaning not just maintaining it, but you also have to help it thrive. Okay, and then lastly, our purpose is benefactor. In John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So you want to be able to leave your mark in this world, kind of the concept of leave it better than when you first came upon it. That's not exactly how it goes, but you know what I mean. But work with me here. You want to end up in a situation where you're not there just to create, and then you're not there just to rule over it, but you want it to be left even better. And you want like your families, you want your church, you want your community, the world to thrive around you because God had brought you into it. Okay, that's the goal. All right, in terms of governance, believe it or not, all men are actually created to govern. Like, we're supposed to be leaders. We might not be, I think I say this later on, but whether you like it or not, we are a leader. Okay, you might not be a good leader, you might not be an effective leader, but just because you were born a man, you are a leader. Okay, so that's something you just have to accept. That's like a given. It's like if you remember your geometry classes in high school, it's like there's a given premise. Well, the given premise is that you're a man. And so, therefore, man equals leader. Okay. And there are three ways that the book talks about governments. One is building, one is serving, and the other is protecting. Okay. Man was created not only to maintain what God created, but to develop it. Okay. So, building means you must add or actually put something in that has value. Okay. So that we talked about building wealth. We talked about being able to create services or industries or businesses that are helpful. Okay, we're talking about developing infrastructure for society. We're talking about even like the culture and this the uniqueness of each civilization, the arts. These are things that men were created to add to and to cultivate. To develop and you know carry on and pass down generation after generation, all to the glory of God. Okay. In service, in order to build up society and develop God's creation, whatever man builds must be in service to his neighbor. Okay. Service is something that's supportive or edifying to one's neighbor, to the glory of God. Okay. So if this is so obviously. We don't provide services that will harm people, right? We don't provide services that are against God. Hopefully, I don't need to explain any further what that means. Okay, things that are helpful to society, and lastly, to protect. Okay, part of building up, maintaining, and service as a man is then protecting what God determines is good. Okay, this is different from what we might consider good. Okay. Because the things we consider as good sometimes are not good according to God. So we have to be in tune we are with God's purpose and his will, the better. Okay. We live in a fallen world, so you do have to. You can imagine even in this world today, if you look around, there are a lot of institutions that God would deem as good. That God actually created and ordained a certain way from the beginning, and those things are being attacked. Okay, and some people actually think that's good. Okay, but again, we have to look back to what God considers as good, not what man considers as good. Okay, so all right, moving on. To kind of sum up everything in terms of leadership and Christ-like humility. It isn't an accident, then, that you find in every civilization, even those who, like the civilizations that don't know God, that there is some form of government there, okay? It wasn't even too long after the Israelites got their promised sovereign territory, right? They too started demanding a king. And so, God made us to lead. Okay, it's not inherently wrong to govern. Okay, and it's not inherently wrong to use whatever kind of system that you might have. It's just that some systems incentivize abuse of power more so than others. Okay, but ultimately, it is innate in a man to want to govern. Okay, we just want to make sure that we allow. We set up systems and govern in a way where it diminishes the effects of human sin as much as possible and allows Christ-likeness to be elevated. We were, as men, made to lead. Like I mentioned before, you might not want to lead. You might not be inclined to lead. Right? But you are a leader nonetheless because you're a man. And yeah, whether we're bad or ineffective, we, we, sh- we are a leader. It is actually in our interest, therefore, to continue to strive and do better wherever we are at. Men were made to govern, in summary, as a creator, a leader, a benefactor, and to do so, we must build, serve, and protect. Okay, so the relevant Bible verses for this, again, going back to Genesis 1:28, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Okay, that's, again, harkening back to creating, building, leading, ruling, establishing order. Psalm 89:14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. So I highlighted all the leadership qualities that God would like in a man. Okay, righteousness, justice, steadfast love, faithfulness. Psalm 22:28. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. So even though we were created to lead, again, no matter what, we remain responsive to God as Christians. Hopefully, even secular ones, though they don't know, okay, or acknowledge it. Ezekiel 36:26. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. John 3:6-7. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. So a good leader must be a redeemed man. Okay, and going back to this, to just kind of wrap everything up, hopefully you can see that in all things, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that pretty much brings me to the end. And I have three discussion questions. Again, it could get super prescriptive on all three of these topics, but I didn't quite go there. Hopefully, through the discussion questions, they can be fleshed out. I believe Deacon Ryan emailed it out to everybody Thursday night as well. So if you check your emails, you should have access to these questions as well. All right. Well, thank you.